back in those days, the big, papers in Chicago had these local editions. So after I made my first communion on Mother's Day in 1947, on Monday, they ran a story in the paper saying all the kids, in St. Philip Neri made their first communion, and Deirdre Capone, with her entire family in attendance, made hers.
Oh, geez.
Well, I wasn't using the Capone name. They were trying to protect me, so I used my father's middle name as my name. But how many Deirdres do you think were in Chicago in 1947?
Yeah.
So 2 weeks after this, every single child in my second grade class was invited to this girl's birthday party except me.
They wanted nothing to do with you, did they?
No. And I went to that same school campus for 12 years, and no one would have anything to do with me.
It must have haunted you.
It was. It was, as I say, I mean, my dad committed suicide because of, everybody would assume, all right, you're a Capone, this is how you are. People started to assume, you are a Capone, this is how you are. I had the opportunity in 1972 to leave Chicago and move to Minneapolis. And, George, my wings spread. I have done things, amazing things. But I think, now I'm looking, those are the Capone genes. I've done some amazing things with my life.
Well, and now it sounds like you're proud to be a Capone. So you're coming out of the closet, so to speak. How come?
I did come out of the closet. My kids wanted that. My two youngest sons went to Northwestern University in Chicago, and then they went on to the University of Chicago in Chicago. So for 6 years, they were back in that city as adults, and they saw, Al Capone's name and likeness being used for all kinds of terrible things. So they just said to me, Mom, you've got to write a book. My grandfather took me under his wing after my father committed suicide, and he told me all kinds of things. But he also made me promise that I would not write a book until all the original family members had died. I had a problem finding out about one of my uncles, when he passed. And when I finally found out that he indeed had passed, I came down with cancer. And I needed to get myself strong and healthy before I could take on this emotional thing. So I kept my promise. But, George, what I really wanted to do is I want to let the world know that there's a family by the name of Capone who are really good. I have four children. I have three daughters-in-law. I have 14 grandchildren, and they all like me. I mean, I'm welcome in any one of their houses anytime. They love me. So I think that's a tribute to my ancestors and to my DNA. I think my ancestors right now are cheering me on.
When Al was doing his thing, and you were only 7 years old when he died, right. Do you remember much about him, or were you told stories about him?
Well, I do remember things about him. He taught me to swim, taught me to ride a bike. He taught me to play the mandolin. We would sing together. We'd have, meals together. But yes, we were a close Italian family, immigrants. They came from the old country. So yes, we would get together all the time, and they would remind me of stories.
How do you react to the image that the media has about Al Capone?
It's difficult, and especially growing up, I would see these things and encounter these things. My husband and I have been very fortunate. We've traveled to over 50 different countries, and we'd go someplace, and we'd be with a group of people, and they'd ask, oh, where are you from? And we say, Chicago. The next thing we would hear, Chicago, da-da-da-da-da, Al Capone.
Yep. Absolutely. Look, I love Chicago. I love Chicago. Yeah, we're number one there. But when I talk about Chicago, in the back of my head, besides, the Cubs and the White Sox and everything else, you think about Al Capone.
Exactly. Al Capone was planning to run for mayor of Chicago. He was getting all geared up because of everything that was going on in that, you know, in those days. And the rest is history. I mean, the Chicago businessmen didn't want that. He would have won, hands down. But they got him on income tax evasion, and I want your listeners, you know, to know this, too. I was just out on Alcatraz. I spent 2 days out there signing copies of my book.
That's where they sent him, right?
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't send him there. They found him guilty of income tax evasion. He first went to Cook County Jail. Then they sent him down to Atlanta. Now, there is a law that, convicted felons can take advantage of, and it's called the writ of habeas corpus.
Mm-hmm.
And that is if somebody feels that they were jailed not, you know, right, or they've got some new evidence, they could go back to the court, back to the judge, and show this new evidence. So my grandfather was helping my uncle, and they were just on the verge of having him sent back to Cook County Jail. The day before he was sent, or going to go back to Cook County Jail to present this new evidence, because there was a man who testified in Al's trial, and he lied on the witness stand. And the federal government made him lie. They tortured him and made him lie. The day before they were going to go back to Cook County, they transferred my uncle to Alcatraz. Alcatraz is a place where monsters went. I mean, they convicted awful things. Al Capone was convicted of income tax evasion.
But wasn't he, in all respect to your family, wasn't he a monster, Deidre?
Oh, no, he wasn't a monster. He was a mobster. No, he was not a monster.
But didn't he have people killed and stuff like that? I mean, that's what I read. That's what I see in the movies.
You know, I equate that era in time to the Wild West, George. And back in those days, I mean, if you stole somebody's, you know, cows or women or whatever, you know, you paid a price for it, you know, lawmen or two people would stand on each end of the street, draw their guns, you know, and fire, and whoever went down first. So back in those days, in the Capone era days, and that was in the 20s, the police really were in cahoots, you know, with the lawmen. What people wanted was alcohol. My family were involved in three business enterprises. They had alcohol, gambling, and prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those things are legal somewhere today.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That was the only thing that they were involved in. But
the scene from Untouchables with De Niro,
I know,
walking behind the guy at a dinner table with a baseball bat and talking about teamwork, and he clubs this guy to death. Did he really do that?
I think so. When I go and I speak to people, I just kind of stand up and I spread my arms, and I said, if you want to know Al Capone, you look at me. I was raised that your word is your bond and family is everything. They had this business environment. They had this, you know, group of guys, and everybody needed to make sure that the soldiers were taking care of their back. They were behind them taking care of their back. And those two men ratted, and they did something where it jeopardized the whole group of people. And, yes, there has to be some kind of restitution paid.